Today on Faithfully Fantasy.
She see that through the window there's a thick curtain of snow. And Andarna said that, yeah, it began an hour ago. And here is when I think there's Lilith still alive.
And it means that we're probably going to meet at some point Violet's equal, because we thought Theophany might have been, but who is Violet's equal? We maybe just don't know them yet.
Why Jack was so important, that he nearly died, that they had like, so much effort just to keep him alive, and I think he's gonna be the venom side of Violet with his power wielder. Hello and welcome to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Onyx Storm.
Today we're kicking off our deep dive into Onyx Storm, starting from the prologue, chapter 1 and chapter 2.
We are so excited to get back into doing what we love most, dissecting the words of Rebecca Yarros, sharing theories, ours and yours, and curing that Onyx Storm hangover.
Before we dive in, just a quick reminder, if you love our content and want even more, check out our subscription plan. You'll get access to exclusive monthly content, early episode release, and much more. You can subscribe directly on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, but we highly recommend visiting our website to find the best plan for you. You'll get the most value for your money at faithfullyfantasy.com. Become a member. And without further ado, let's get into the Squad Brief.
Squad Brief is the new part of the show where we brief you on the chapters we are covering today. A short summary to get you prepared for the oncoming storm. Today we follow our darker than ever shadow daddy down the interrogation chambers. We have a conversation with Jack. We learn Venin walk among us in scribe clothes. We glimpse Theophany before she escapes. The shadows defeat the Venin. And why is it always violence?
Okay, so this season we're calling our deep dive section of the show our history class. A major diverse word, history, in current events are tied because one influenced the other. This is where we'll dissect the events of Onyx Storm and attempt to seek out the clues that will foreshadow the future.
So the epigraph for the prologue. Securing Pasgaiath and the wards has come at great cost, including General Sorengale's life. Strategy must adjust. It is in the realm's best interest to ally with Poromiel, even temporarily. Recovered correspondence of General Augustine Melgrin to His Majesty King Tauri. So, Lilith's dead.
Well, that's going to be a point of view that we'll see later on.
She's totally dead. Right, so the only thing that really jumped out at me on this was that General Melgrin clearly sees the alliance with Poromiel as temporary.
Yes.
So he's not planning to stick around for the long haul. And he's just doing it to kind of defeat the Venin, which I don't know if that's what everyone will take from that epigraph. But for me, it just feels like there's still something not so great about Augustine Melgrin.
The way that I see this is the Melgrin know the shit had hit the fan. And now they need to work with Poromiel to try to keep everything under control. But I think they even, if they can give him words to everyone or whatever, he just doesn't want to be close to Poromiel or anything. So I guess that hate had been for centuries. They started just because the Venin, and maybe that is still there, regardless if the Venin are there or not.
So I don't want to start the deep dive with, like, everyone's a Venin. But the fact that Auric manifests a very similar signet, it's not the same, it's better, but it's very similar. And we know that everyone has that magic likes a balance.
Yes.
And you have later, when somebody turns Venin, that signet manifests in someone who hasn't turned Venin.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a chance that Melgrin has turned Venon and Auric is his balance?
Auric's signal is definitely way better than Melgrin because he has totally preconniction. While Melgrin, the only thing he can see is the result of the battles.
He can't see how, can he? He can see what the outcome is.
Yes, and it's always battles. While Auric, at the moment, we are not sure if it's just battles or could be anything. So far, he loses like anything. So I don't think it's similar. Like, you know, with the Entente, you have like different levels. So I think Auric had like the one that he can just see everything that may be influenced and the thing that he wants.
Yeah.
Okay, so this chapter, we're going to start as really from the end of Iron Flame on Zaydan's point of view. So we started as following Zaydan, this walking in the dark, Violet's falling really close. Now he feels the darkness, it feels like something more powerful. There's something that we saw from Iron Flame, that whatever it is, it feels like we can blend to the darkness even better. Violet is following him, she's struggling, and the only way that she can follow is because of the bond. So even with the bond, it's really difficult to see where he's going. But that's the thing, they keep them connected somehow, because he had the shields up. And she shouldn't be able to like see it, but she still see that bond.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird. I think she also refers to a dragon, she says, because of the dragon bond, which means not their bond. I don't really know, but the question it brings up in my mind, and again, we're gonna get to this point eventually. But do they still have that bond by the end of the book? Are the dragons still bonded? And I know that we can't really go so deep into that theory right now, but there is a theory that when Tern is he resting because Andana needed to break the bond? But we'll get to that.
Yeah, that's something that for me wasn't that clear, but yeah, definitely once we get to that point, we need to like discuss. For Violet, it's really weird that he's doing this because he's been all day with the head down. He's just been guarded by Body and Gary. Obviously, he doesn't want that everyone see him with red eyes. So he's been like really hiding himself. And for Violet, it's just weird that now he's risking everything to go. God knows where he's going at this point, is where Violet is thinking. She is just following, then she see that through the window there's snow, there's like a thick curtain of snow. And Andarna said that, yeah, it began an hour ago. Andarna says gently. And here is when I think there's Lilith still alive. And I know what you're going to say, but...
How do you think that Lilith is still alive?
Well, if you remember, and Iron Flame, when I was saying, the only way that I will be completely convinced that Lilith is dead is if at the beginning of Onyx Storm, we see something happen with the body. It's being burned, it's being in a funeral, like something to be clear. She is dead, the body is gone. So that's it. But for me, obviously, because we have some reference about her being a Venon, even when some little hint, so obviously we have no confirmation that she is a Venon. But there were some, at least for me, two powerful reference. First one, Violet, when she was saying that long time ago when she was little, mommy come back home with red eyes. She was scared. She thought that she was a Venon. That's like the first one. Second one, there is an epigraph somewhere when Nolan is telling her there's no cure, it's only control. At this point, we don't know who it's talking about. Could be Brennan, could be somebody else. I think it's talking about herself because that previous reference about the Venon. Venon can only die with power. If there is stuff, maybe with a dagger or something, there's been properly prepared with magic. imbued with magic. And the way that she died was because she got drained by Sloane. So she put all the power from her to the stone. That's how she dies. But for me, as a writer, that part when, okay, yeah, she died. So don't look at her anymore. She's dead. She had no pulse. She's stiff, whatever. Then the body just going out with the rest. We don't know anything else about it. But if she was a Venom and thinking this is the moment when maybe she just wake up, she start channeling, properly channeling from the ground like Satan did. And then when she was doing this, all this power come to her with this massive snowstorm.
So where's she gone?
She's escaping because she can't be seen as a Venom. So she's using it to escape, is what I'm thinking.
This is crazy.
Oh, come on. You're the one who said that Nolan is Malik and that yeah, God.
True.
So I'm still convinced that at some point we're going to see Lilith Sorangel. And it's just because there's this reference about she being a Venom. And again, for me, the episode that she is being like, I don't know, the body had been cremated by Dragonfire, or she'd been buried, or whatever. There's just not
that. Yeah, so we know all her stuff has been burned. And I get yes. Venom references, because I was like Lilith is Venom all of the last book. I just, and I know my other counter argument doesn't really stack up either, because Rebecca Yarros says she doesn't bring people back from the dead. Like, once they're dead, they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
We thought Jack died, and he didn't.
I had the same feeling right now.
We thought Berwyn, we didn't actually believe that, but you know the sage, the maven that Zayden said he'd killed? Well, yeah, turns out he wasn't. But throughout this book, she makes us think Mira's dead, and then you turn the page and Mira's not dead. She makes us think Riddick.
Brennan is the one that in the beginning, he was there.
Oh yeah, Brennan was dead, the biggest example. We think Riddick's been stabbed in the side. We think he's going to die. He doesn't die. So I'm not sure I really believe the...
That is the difference. Once the character is properly dead, yeah, she doesn't bring it back. But that's the thing for me, is not being like completely close as a character.
Mm.
That, yes, rest in peace is a general. She had like a ceremony or just... Everyone is around, all the bodies getting burnt. No, it's just like, yeah, she's there. Forget about it. Next. So like, for me, it's exactly the same feeling that I had when Jack Barlow died.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, but his name wasn't in the death roll. Why? But she's not always there with the death roll, so they may be deserted and blah, blah, blah.
So there's two things. I don't think she could stay hidden. I think she would want to help. She would want to fight for her kids. I have realized, though, I think why she didn't leave and go to Erasure at the end. And my biggest thing, and this there's a reference to this in this part of the chapter, it had been warm enough for thunderstorms earlier. This is almost certainly Theophany, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a few references to that in these couple of chapters. Theophany's got stronger all of a sudden because Lilith has been really, really exhausting herself fighting Theophany with storms. So a storm comes, then she pushes it back. That's why Lilith didn't leave. Mm-hmm. And that's why she had rings around her eyes, and she's been exhausted. She's gone. Theophany is now taking over, like, is now becoming powerful. Had Lilith not gone or died, I don't think Theophany would have become so powerful.
For me, it's about as well the Theophany. She never used snowstorms when she was fighting. She was doing, like, tornadoes, storms, lightning, but I can't remember she getting actually like a snowstorm. If she's able to do it, yeah, but if she's able to do it, what she didn't when that's like one of the biggest arms against dragons or anything, they can fly, because for them it's really difficult fly with the snow. It would be more effective.
I don't think she needed to, because the tornado was pretty badass, wasn't it? But this one, it says thunderstorms.
It's something that I had to say. It's still in my mind that that's not being properly closed. So, obviously, we had to wait another two books. Then by the end of the book, if she doesn't appear, then I might start thinking that she's not coming back.
Okay. Another two books. It's okay. I'm leaning that she's not alive. But I get it. I get your arguments. I do.
Okay. So back to Violet Fallen Seydan. She sees that he's going to the chamber interrogation when there are two guards in front of the door of the chamber. Violet managed to convince the guard to let her pass, and she gets 10 minutes alone with Jack. Obviously, they don't know that Seydan is there as well.
Yeah, the guards are under strict orders from Milgren not to let anyone down. Is that because he knows Panchek's plan? Because this is Panchek's plan, right? Panchek is the only one who can give him access to his son.
It's something weird with all of this, but I honestly, I still don't know, or I'm not sure about Melgrin's point in all of this. Because some reference, Violet describing that, I won't be surprised if one day this guy turns Venom in front of everyone, because he's like really sinister as well. So I don't know if that is just like to make us believe that he's actually a Venom, and maybe by the end he is actually the one who was no part of all of this.
Yeah, I feel like he's the, like, not every, he's not good. But yeah, he's not a Venom. Yeah, I agree with that right now. But I've already wondered if he's Venom twice in this episode. So let's see as we go through the book.
So while she's going down to the chamber, she's wondering why Seydan is doing this. And then I said that she can't blame him for wants to know what he's now. So Violet take it bad and tell her that he is not a soulless Venom.
Yeah, she says, surely we can repair wherever his soul may have cracked. There are theories flying around all over the place that, spoiler alert of Harry Potter, surprise, surprise, this is us, that Zayden's soul is in the Emerald Ring at the end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning that it's not at the moment, but I've got to reserve judgment for it. It's a bit too Horcruxy, isn't it? Isn't it like a bit?
Yeah, it's a lot similar to Harry Potter, if that actually happens. But
well, it's not because he wants to stay alive. It's because he wants her to protect her. So it's different. Mm-hmm. It is different, probably enough.
Yeah, but it's more about he putting like the piece of his soul in something physical.
Mm.
That's the part that like really like Harry Potter.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that I find like weird if is actually happening. But we can't say it's 100% no, because you never know.
We'll see.
Yeah,
I do think there's a cure for Venom that turn for love. I don't think the soul fully dies if you turn for love. I think that's the difference.
Yeah, I start to think as well, there's like different kind of Venom. They are the one that's fighting, or they just want power, and then the one they just want to protect the people they love.
Yeah.
Violet asks her to be with her on her side because she can't take what Tern is thinking about Seydan in all this situation. Obviously, Tern is against Seydan as a Venom. So she said that she can't have her other dragon telling her exactly the same. So she said, all right, just like that. So she's like with Violet. And this is the sneak peek that we got directly from Rebecca Yarros in London when she was saying exactly this point when she had this discussion and she needs Andarna, and Andarna is there for her. So Andarna says that she can't say anything against Seydan because he is as unknown as she is. So that reminds to Violet that Andarna is from Seven Den, and she was able to burn a Venom with her fire, something that no other dragon has done before.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it all night. Magic feels different when I change color. Maybe my use of power in that moment altered the venom, weakened her enough to blister. So, this made me really think. We know that there's a difference between channeling magic from the sky and channeling magic from the ground. So, in that moment, she's channeling magic from the sky. Does that mean in any other moment she's channeling from the ground? So she's actually able to do both, but she, when she's irid, she's channeling from the sky. Because it seems to be when her magic feels different when I change color, which makes it seem like it's when she's changing color, that's when it's feeling different and it's coming from the sky.
Yeah.
Does that mean that was the first time she did it? She channeled from the sky.
I'm not sure about it because I think Seven Den Dragons are like really like magical creatures. So I'm not sure if they need to channel from anywhere. Maybe they are like pure magic, and that's why like one of the reasons they were allowed to leave the continent. They don't need to be in the continent to get the magic from the ground or from the sky or from whatever.
If it is from the sky, though, it's pretty clear. Mm. It feels like, though, the fact that she says it's different when she changes color, that there's something that she's realizing she's doing differently in that moment.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I definitely think that dragons are venom. Mm-hmm. Not they're not venom, but they shouldn't be channeling from the ground. They should be channeling from the sky. And there's so many things that I hear through the book that's like, there's one in the next chapter, actually. I mean, we should wait to talk about it until then. But it feels like the dragons have forgotten what their true magic is. And it was the magic from the sky, but they realize they could be more powerful if they take it from the ground. And they channel from the ground now. But they don't seem to sap the power from the ground, so they must get it from much deeper. It's not like a venom where when they take it, terrain goes dead.
Yeah.
But they definitely can't access magic when they're on the Isle Kingdoms. And that for me is like, well, they're not doing it from the sky then, are they? They're doing it from the ground.
Yeah, that's something that I thought it was like really weird. Just because they are like outside the continent, there's no magic at all. Like, all the magic just focus on the continent, regardless if it's ground or sky.
It must be. I mean, there's like crystals in the ground, you know, like Atlantis.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much there that we just need to unpick as we go through the deep dive. But I genuinely think that's what the dragons are hiding. That's their secret.
That will be the final twist. The dragons are actually the venom.
Well, they're not venom, are they? But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
They're stealing magic from the earth when actually they should be using it from the sky. But you don't know what. I mean, it needs a balance, and maybe that's it. Maybe the other dragons came as a balance to the Irids.
Yeah.
Because that's the main thing, is that magic needs balance, and we've had that right from the beginning of Fourth Wing.
Yeah. Something that, from all of this, and this specific scene that felt like interesting was when Andarna was saying that when she changed color is when she feels the magic is different, and when she was doing that is when the venom was affected by the fire. So I was just thinking, is it maybe possible the venom had like some kind of like a power magic that they're not affected by the fire or the Six Den, for example, that each dragon gave the fire to do something in some point in history to the venom, so they now are affected for the fire, except the Seven Den. And then when Andarna was doing it, actually, that was the fire that it was burning.
Because it's a new type of fire fueled by the power from the sky. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, something like that.
I am a bit confused about it. Though, because Bodhi at the end can't seem to counter Theophany and Violet's, there's something around it being not the right type of power, which incidentally, I think I brought this up last week, is that I think that's the reason Bodhi would turn. But yeah, I just feel like There's something I can't quite get my head around. I'm going to have to do my like insane mapping and sketching it out, because I think it's the first time we've really heard about this, isn't it? That you can't do some, you can't counter the signets of the venom because it's a different type of magic. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't 100% make sense to me right now. So I need to figure it out.
Going back to Violet, she goes to get closer to Zaydan. She can hear that he's talking with Jack. Jack knows that he is a Venom. And I was wondering, is this just because they had the same master, or just because they are Venom? So we will find out later on that, yes, Venom can sense between them, but I don't know until which point they know if they are like brothers, like from the same family line.
Yeah, how do they know that? And that the thing is, it says the reason the higher-ups want her, that's one thing I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about Violet, we'll come back to that. The main thing I wanted to say was it said a little brotherly advice. And so at that point, he does know, I think, mm-hmm. that he's in the same family
yeah.
as Zaydan. And yeah, we know that the one who turns Venom at the end, he calls him a new brother. And it's not literally a new brother, is it? It's just somebody that's joined the family of Venom.
Yeah.
With Berwyn as Daddy Berwyn, we should call him. The higher-ups want her is because she's full of power, mm-hmm. and they want that power. I don't think that is true. And we learn later that Theophany wants the Irid as well.
Yeah.
And it makes me think that Jack doesn't really know a lot at all. So I don't think he's mega important in the Venom. I don't think that's why they're trying to get him out. But because he doesn't know a lot. But why are they trying to get him out? Anyway, we'll get to that.
So, yeah, Viola can hear that she's still the main topic. But Jack knows it's only a matter of time for Zaydan to become a Hussein. And Darna tells Viola they need to find the Seven Den, because they might know how to cure the Venom. Violet agrees and asks Darna to tell Tuglin that she needs Imogen.
Yeah, so again, I keep coming back to this. Who turned Venom at the end of the book? Only Garrick, Bodhi, and Imogen know.
Mm-hmm.
We need to work out the timeline of this book. Is the whole thing 5 months? Because that's the key thing. It says he's watched me struggle for 5 months. If the whole timeline of this book is 5 months, which I need to work out, only Garrick, Bodhi, and Imogen know. So we know it's not Imogen.
Yeah, it's definitely between Garrick and Bodhi.
The only other hat that I would throw into the ring is Auric, on the basis that we think Auric can already see the future, and he would have seen that Zaydan was a Venom. He wasn't close to the struggle. He wouldn't have seen him struggle.
It was because precognition.
You can't rule him out, but it's got to be Bodhi or Garrick, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's more about the part that Zaydan says he has seen me struggling for the last 5 months, or after all the stuff that he told me about it, and now he just does exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it has to be, and the way that he's talking, I think he's talking about Garrick, but we have some thoughts that could be Bodhi as well, because there was some weird thing going on in the battles.
I'm more that it's Bodhi, because Bodhi's more likely to.
No, for me, it's just because Gary was the one who was always with Zaydan, regardless. Bodhi wasn't all the time with him.
Yeah.
And Garrick was he never wanted to give any chance to be with Violet, so.
Oh my God, we're going to be talking about this for months. It's not even come up yet, and we're still looking for clues. So should we move on to chapter one?
Okay, chapter one.
Epigraph, nice and simple. I will not die today. Strike through. I will save him. Violet Sorengale's personal addendum to the Book of Brennan. I don't have anything to say about that. We've known about this for ages.
I remember there were some theories that were saying, I think we're talking about Jack. She needs to save Jack.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah, it's definitely not Jack.
So it's two. We start the chapter and it's 2 weeks later. So 2 weeks after the little midnight trip down to see Jack Barlow.
Yes.
Tern's got a new nickname for Zaydan, the Dark One. after what we just said about the dragons, I think that's a bit rich coming from Tern. He's the one that's also channeling magic from the ground.
Yes. Plus he's black dragon, so.
Yeah, the dark one. Let's start calling Tern the dark one.
Yeah, the big dark one. Colombia, we had a saying about something like this. There's like the donkey criticized about ears. So. Oh.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah, so we start the chapter with Violet and Tern. They are flying, doing some patrols, looking for venom around the ground. So all the ones they managed to escape, they're just hunting them.
Yeah, this is just before she is due to visit the Cenarium.
Yes.
The king's representative, the king's kind of council. We learn that the Cenarium are there for an alliance negotiation. Poor Emile has publicly declared they'll walk after the seventh day if terms can't be reached, and it isn't looking good. So this isn't the main thing of the scene. It's just an information snippet that we get.
So all the riders are hunting down all the Venom. They manage to escape, but even they don't have that much power within the world, they're still little. And the last week, they have Arson names at the death roll and surprises attack. First win, third win, cloud section from fourth wing. None of them from second wing.
Yeah, we were so late to this line of thinking, weren't we? That second wing are sus, but they're still sus.
Even more now. This venom, they have killed everyone except second.
How did they not lose anyone?
That's the weird thing. So everyone is looking for venom. Probably second wing is like, we couldn't find anyone.
I missed this.
They put him inside Basgaiath again, giving like rider clothes or scribe clothes.
How weird. I totally missed that reference. Anyway.
Yeah. The snowstorm is still there, making it really difficult to see as well.
She says, I can't remember a more brutal series of storms than the ones that have battered the War College in the last 2 weeks, but without Mom. Mm-hmm. I guess Theophany again. And this is the bit where I think we know why she was so tired, because she was fighting it all the time.
They are flying, and there's a moment where Atron nearly crashed with Tern. He managed to avoid him, but then he gets really angry at him and charged at him as well. Violet complains to Tern because it was an accident, and Tern is nearly double sized than Atron. And Tern only said, well, he's a 22-year-old dragon, should know better, and even if he's arguing with his rider. So for me, it was like, okay, so when I was reading this for the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, Atron's going to try and do something against Tern, because obviously the only way that the little dragon can actually hurt or kill Tern is with Violet. You kill Violet, you kill Tern.
Oh, yeah.
So, and this is saying that when Violet says, only close is in my vision. So it's like he's going after her. And that's why I was like, oh, is something going on here? Is something dodgy? It's actually an accident, because yes, Atron is a little bit like Riddock. They're two the same.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely an accident, I think. We see all the way through.
Yeah. Really, like I said, the first time I was reading, I didn't know what's going to happen after that. I found it like really suspicious. But then there's a part when Atron is just like another. It's like the Riddock or the dragons.
Yeah. I think they're playing practical jokes on each other all the time. So I 100% think it was an accident. Mm-hmm. You don't go picking fights with Tern, particularly if you're. The reason he was arguing with Riddock was because he wanted to go back to Aurasia. I have a theory about Aetrum, and I'm going to leave it until we officially, when we get to the part where we officially find out why they were arguing. but what I thought was interesting about the passage was that he says a 22-year-old dragon should know better, which means Riddock and Aetrum are virtually the same age. They were born at the same time.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah, because you expect the dragons to be a lot older.
Like around 100 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Just.
So he's like basically a like young adult. Like no wonder they, yeah, no wonder they are like joking all the time. Just like personality thing.
Yes. So after that, they are done with the search, then return to Basgaiath. Violet is struggling with her saddle because it needs to be fixed, but Tern doesn't want to the dark one close to him. So Violet asking not to call him like that, but Tern just tell him, stop denying the truth. His soul is not his own. That kind of power is addictive.
Yeah, you know well that that power is that it's the, that kind of power is addictive. You know it, or you wouldn't be pretending to sleep at night. He twists his neck in a way that reminds me of a snake. And levels a golden glare on me. Right, we're going to get some hate here because I'm already suspecting that Tern, it's not that I suspect Tern is bad, it's that I expect that the dragons have forgotten where they came from and they are using stolen magic. The fact that he knows it's addictive, they have basically have withdrawal symptoms when they go to the Isles and they can't use it. Mm-hmm. He says he's slower without the magic, and obviously they use it for speed, they use it for all sorts of things, and it's just a weird thing. He twists his neck the way that reminds me of a snake. And what do you picture when you see the word snake? It's deception, isn't it? It's a serpent, it's the Garden of Eden, it's exactly that. A snake conjures up all these visions of deceit and trickery, and this is why I don't think that's there by accident. I think that we are supposed to start to question if the dragons are the good guys.
I mean, it's coming from Rebecca Jarrett, so
yeah. The only other bit about this exchange is where Violet is asking Tern, I need to know whether you're with me before I go to the Cenarium. I need to know you're behind me, regardless of what the Empyrean are doing. Mm-hmm. And he says, meaning I will support the myriad of ways you plan to court death in the name of curing the one who is beyond redemption. And then tension crackles along Andana's bond. So Tern is, in this moment, thinking he is beyond redemption.
Mm-hmm.
That's also kind of similar to how it probably is, because Tern is stuck between Violet and Segael. Segael is not talking to Zayden, so obviously he has Segael, who's been like quiet all day, and she must like in the veil at the end of the day just be like gah. And then Violet is saying how great Zayden is, but Andana gets frustrated with Tern here because Andana is 100% behind Violet.
Right, so yeah, he said that he will help. He is not doing it because he trusts that they can bring Zayden back to normal. He's just doing it, obviously, because Segael and Violet. So the dragons leave. Then she has some words with Radok, like, what happened there? Why is all that going on? So he was just apologizing and saying that, yeah, all of that is because Aetron just want to go back to Arasia.
Do you want to know my theory about Aetron?
Okay.
It's weird that Aetron and Riddick call it home, even though they've lived longer at Basgaiath.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, it must just be that they like it. They feel like that's where they should be because they don't like being at Basgaiath. I wonder if Aetron is bonding a mate who is in Arasia and he's far away from his potential dragon mate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's normal to bond at 22 years old. Maybe it is. I'm not really sure what else would be so strong for them to be fighting so much about it. I know that they have a strange relationship anyway, Aetron and Riddick, but it could mean it makes me excited because there's got to be a strong reason why Aetron wants to go back. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because he's bonding another dragon.
Yes.
And that could mean another bond between Riddick and another rider like Zayden and Violet.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, it could go either way, couldn't it? If you, like, are always connected to Riddick. I really like him after this book. And, yeah, I think whoever bonds him is a very lucky rider.
Yes, but that will be, like, another thing to think about redux ending, because that would be like another way for there's actually like a bond between the two dragons, and then is there other rider who dies, or the dragon of the other rider dies, that mean the redux or the dragon will die. But obviously it's depend on the bond, I guess. If it's not that big strong as Terence again.
I'm worried for Atrum at the end, because there is a brown dragon with no tail. Like, I've had a tail chopped off, and I'm worried that's Riddix, but we'll see when we get there. What do you think? Do you think he could have bonded someone?
Yeah, I think it could be something possible, because why he's going to call Arisha home, I wasn't even thinking it could be because the world or something, they like feels different because they're not that good in Arisha.
Yeah, they're not good. Yeah.
Yes, no.
I wholly think Atrum and Riddick, like they're just good guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know how Riddick is with both men and women? He's like young and carefree and sleeping around.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Atrum could be quite similar, but there has got to be a strong reason why he wants to go home, why he's fighting so much. There's also a bit in this part of the chapter where it says, maybe the god of death will curse me for keeping my mother's journals. So we'll curse Violet for keeping her mother's journals. Mm-hmm. But she would have a few choice words for him should they meet. I have always said that Violet is going to meet Malik. Not like in the way that everyone's like, oh, you'll meet Malik if you do something stupid, or I hope you meet Malik. Yeah. I hope you die.
She's just going to die.
I think we will get that confirmation, and I think there's even more evidence throughout this book, so I am going to be a pain in the ass. I'm going to highlight it every single time. But we now know there's more of a connection between Violet and Malik because of that epigraph, which literally says that he curries her favor. So I think that Malik is going to be quite a big part of book four.
Mm-hmm.
Dune was a big focus of this one, and I think Malik will be a big focus of the next one. Obviously, I've got I don't know, but it just, I feel like that sentence again where she's saying, should I meet Malik, I'll have things to say, just points to the fact that she's going to meet Malik.
I mean, we start to see there's like some magic going on between God stuff as well. There's not just like magic from the ground or the sky. There's some stuff that's just specifically involving God.
Mm. So. And you know, Theophany, she says, why should I worship a god when I could be one?
Mm-hmm.
And then Theophany, her name actually in Greek means a physical manifestation of a god.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps she's already met Dune, like the bad version of Dune, and she has to fight her, and she was the good version of Dune. And then you've got like the others representing other gods. Maybe we'll get the physical manifestation of Malik as a Venon. And that'll be Nalan.
I mean, it could be something related to the six more powerful riders. They only count when something really bad is about to happen, like with the Venon. And I think so far it's like like six gods that we have seen so far. So.
Yeah, but there's a really good reel by Sarah Kane Reads that talks about there potentially being seven gods.
Seven gods.
Yeah, a seventh one.
Okay, so after the dragons leave, they're going to report into Aura Benhaven about the patrols and all the stuff that happens. And you can see from this point, there's a clear dislike from the writer,
a bitch or a Beinhaven.
Yeah, so they're calling like traitors because they went to Arisha. And yes, I still don't get it. Like traitor because they want to fight against the Venon when the people who stay there, they just want to like keep protecting and the safety of their worlds. And they're saying they're saying because they need to like defend them, Baskaya, they need to defend Navarre, but Defend it from what? Because the vermin can go in?
From the Paromish people. They basically want, they basically think the Paromish people could die, should just die. Mm. And, but then what do they think will happen when they get through Poromil and they've killed everyone? Where are they going to go next? Navar. It's such a ignorant perspective.
Yeah.
But Aura Bynehaven, is she the wing leader of Second Wing?
She is, she's our wing leader, but I can't remember.
She was where. Dane's in Dane's chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
And he was originally in Second Wing. So I've got a feeling she's in Second Wing. So something going on there, isn't there? And she is just a total twat. But she gets her just desserts later on in the book, doesn't she?
Yes. So Imogen appears and wants to talk to Violet. They are walking and talking about their plans to help Sadan. On the way, they spot a group of hooded scribes, potentially still working to get more accurate info about the battle, according to Violet.
Yeah, or just like sneaking around as Venom sneaking around as scribes. I know what I mean. Before we talk about that, though, they also see Caroline Ashton. And I'm getting really angry because I've had to deal with Aura Bynehaven and Caroline Ashton in the same chapter. Violet says that truthsayers have cleared her.
Mm-hmm.
I can't shake the feeling that why would she be there? It's not just there because of that little bit of snippet that truthsayers have cleared her to be in the quadrant. Obviously, she was questioned after Jack took down the wards and the truthsayers decided that she could be fine, but she could counter Cygnus. Like, she should. Bodhi wouldn't really have that much trouble around a truthsayer, would he? He could lie till the cows come home because he can counter the Cygnus. Caroline might be able to, too. She's there for a reason. I think she had something to do with this because it involves Jack. They're going in to rescue him. She's there. She's at the scene of the crime. Yeah. There's something going on with Caroline Ashton.
She's probably maybe just close to give some information about how many people are and where they are.
Like, she's helping intel. Them.
Yeah.
She's helping them.
So Violet goes to infirmary to see Sawyer and Imogen leaves. She only says, say hello to Sawyer from me. Then on the way to the infirmary, she wastes Trigger, who is with the healers just helping. So this may be the first mention about Trigger for the people who, when in this chapter, when he dies, not many people knew, like, oh, who was the one who died?
It sounds weird. Well, no, it's not. Like, we are not the average reader. We would read this book several times and dissect it. But Trigger was in Ironflame.
Yeah. So just to spot the, guys, this is the guy who's going to die later. He's been dating Kat.
I don't think you're listening to this podcast if you don't know who Draeger is. Just got a hunch.
So Violet goes to see Sawyer. He's just he's a squad. So, and the squad is including Kat and Marin as well. And they're just trying to make like Sawyer laugh with some stories, some stuff. And Sawyer is like, he's smiling, but Violet noticed that he's more like forcing it.
Yeah, I love this bit. It's so like just the squad. They throw their jackets on the chair. They're just hanging out around. So, they could be hanging out anywhere. They could be hanging out in the mess hall. They could be hanging out in Violet's room. They could be hanging out anywhere, but they want to be with Sawyer. So they're hanging out with Sawyer. I had a really funny read of this. I didn't know what shit eating grin meant. So Riddick glances my way with a shit eating grin. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? I couldn't work it out. A shit eating grin. So I asked Discord. Apparently, I think it's just not a saying in the UK. Mm-hmm. It might be now after Onyx Storm. People might pick it up. But Rosie, so thank you to Rosie, who told me it's an American saying for when someone is being cocky. She also asked her partner because she wanted to make sure that she'd got it right. He said, it's a face you want to punch. And I think that's a bold thing to say when you're talking about Riddick. There are thousands of women and men that will fiercely defend Riddick to the ground. So Rosie's partner should be careful, really, saying things like that about Riddick. And Celine sent a reel from Diana underscore the underscore book underscore nerd on that very subject, and it is hilarious. So I think we should probably share the link to that reel
when you actually can see the saying like coming to life.
Just for those that haven't seen it, it is somebody reading a book and it says, when the author writes, or when the character gives a shit-eating grin, and then she opens her mouth and she's obviously just eaten a load of chocolate. It's very funny.
We expect this chocolate.
Yes, I hope it's chocolate. There's a few little details in this scene that I just wanted to pull out. So Jacinia is writing to him. It's a real passing mention of it. Violet grabs something, but she has to lean over a letter from Jacinia, and they're writing to each other, which is sweet. Mm-hmm. And we find out that he's still channeling. So he mm-hmm. grabs the pewter mug and the handle kind of bends. And it's obviously he can't really control it at that time because he's stressed. He's like, he doesn't want to be there. But he's still channeling. So obviously his dragon is still
there for him. Yeah.
Sleek. Oh my God. The bit later on when, and that made me cry so much. And then something else that stands out in this part of the chapter was the, when Violet says pain isn't a competition, there's always enough to go round. And that is like tragically true. And you always see on social media or in even like in a regular conversation, I guess normal people probably don't do this in a normal conversation. When somebody says, this is happening and it's terrible, and someone else will be like, yeah, but what about this? This is terrible. And they're like, well, both things can be terrible. You don't have to try and make one seem less terrible because there's something else that's terrible going on. It's just another one of these things where Rebecca Yarros has like a really clever way of commenting on how people are and how life is.
Then Sawyer's telling that he got a visit from Colonel Chandri, the commander of the retired riders. Riddick can't believe it. And Sawyer is about to explain when a scream echoes from outside. They check outside and there are some bodies with handprint marking the side of their neck. Venom. We haven't found them out in patrol because they are already here.
They're already inside.
Yes.
Chapter two. The epigraph. This one is full of tea. The rarest of signets, those that rise once in a generation or century, have manifested concurrently with an equal twice in our records, both critical times in our history, but once have the six most powerful walked the continent simultaneously. I would rather not live to see it happen again. A Study on Signets by Major Dalton Cisneros. Oh, there's so much in this epigraph. The rarest signets that those see, that you see rise only once in a generation or a century, have only manifested at the same time twice. So the first time must have been the first six. And the second time, when was that? Like, when was that? Is the Study on Signets by Major Dalton Cisneros, is that after the events? Because we know that Jacinia is writing this after the events. Or when did it happen the second time? It's not clear, is it?
We don't know anything about Major Dalton Cisneros. Is he pre these stories or is after?
Because maybe we'll meet him. And then we'll be like, oh, so the second time. And then both critical times in our history. The two critical times I feel like we know about is mm-hmm. the First War and the Second Crovelund Uprising. We don't know anything about the First Crovelund Uprising, by the way. Like, when was that? But then this time it says, but once have the six most powerful walked the continent simultaneously. If it was the first six, how would you know they were the six most powerful? They're like The only one.
I guess it's just if you had a bunch of, I don't know, fire wielders, ice wielders, wind wielders, and then you had, I don't know, lightning wielder, shadow wielder, distant wielder. So you had this massive, and you had six of them. They're just amazing, and you have only just one, the only one. So I think that's the only thing you can say, yeah, that has to be the six more powerful that we know, because there's no more like
so others. We know, we can take a guess at some of them, because when the signets manifested, or when Violet found out about the signets, or just discussing the signets in general, we know that the text literally says that is a once in a generation, or that is, I haven't read about one of those in centuries, for example. The ones we know about are Lightning Wielder, obviously Violet, Shadow Wielder, obviously Zayden. The weird one, which you wouldn't think was so powerful, but Ri, when she manifests, or when she tells Violet she's manifested her signet in Fourth Wing, it says, I haven't read about one of those in centuries. That's the type of career-making signet. And she literally says, I haven't read about one of those in centuries. So then we've got Ri, potentially.
Yeah.
Then we've got the Distance Wielder, which is Garrick. And then I would say the only other one we have evidence for, I think, is Imogen's second signet. There is a particular line that says there hasn't been a stone or a rock or a stone wielder in centuries. And we know that that is Imogen's second signet. So I think her signet is significant. And perhaps that's like how the wards became, the ward stones were made. And they, like, somebody thinks it's iron, but somebody thinks it's stone. Or somebody, yeah, somebody, it's a ward stone, but somebody thinks it's iron. What if it was actually iron that was turned to stone or something? I don't know.
Combination that you can only get with a signet, like something natural.
Someone like Imogen. Scribe Jeffsons has a really good carousel on this, and how, and what she's actually done is she has linked those six powerful riders to the gods. And she has put Vi as Dune, for obvious reasons, the hair. She's put Loyal, who is the god of love, as Zayden, for obvious reasons. Amari as Ri, because there was a comment, I think the first time that Violet met Ri, it was she's the closest to the depictions of Amari that she's seen. Zinal, Garrick, I'm not sure why Zinal for that one, but, and then she had put a picture of Jack, I think, or the passage was Jack. I'm not the one who thinks precognition is a thing, but I think that she might mean that Auric is the Malak one. I would have Imogen in there because of the, she doesn't have Imogen in there, and I would have put Imogen in, but I like this. I like the connection to the gods. And maybe if Sarah Kane and her theory about this, there being seven gods, maybe we could have them all in there, because there'll be a seventh one. But yeah, I also like, I want to understand the part of where it says with an equal. So they've manifested concurrently with an equal. That could be that they have someone who can counter them. But I don't think it is that. I think it's with a Venon. I think it's an equal on the other side. So a dark wielder who has the same signet. So you've got Lilith Sorengil, Theophany. And that means we will have
shadow wielders now.
Yeah, and they would have to fight each other. And it means that we're probably going to meet at some point Violet's equal, because we thought Theophany might have been, but who is Violet's equal? We maybe just don't know them yet.
This is something that I was thinking before Onyx Storm came. When we were talking about why Jack was so important, that he nearly died, that they had like, so much effort just to keep him alive. Then when the walls falls, the Bible said that, yeah, he'd been a villain since we were fighting the man because he was like passing me power.
Yeah.
He was passing power through my body. He wasn't taking it. He was passing power. So I think the Jack is the, I don't know if it's going to be lightning wielder, but it's going to be the power.
So I don't think she's a lightning wielder, is she? She's a power wielder.
Yeah, but he's in the venom side. So I think that's the reason the leadership knows this.
So that little shit stain is going to be the counter to Violet.
Yes, because you think about Jazz Core before he was a rider.
Power hungry.
Yeah, exactly. Then he got the dragon. He didn't want to wait for the dragon to give him anything. So I'm guessing that maybe by the same time when the dragon was channeling on himself, he was learning to get in the power from the ground. So maybe he got the signet because in his core at that point was just power. And I think he's going to be the venom side of Violet with his power wielded.
Oh my God, I love that. It totally could be.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense.
Why leadership wants him alive so badly? Why after he broke down the walls, he's still alive? Why the venom wants to like give him back?
So it's Pancheck. So Pancheck would know that he's the counter to Violet.
Yeah.
Because why Berwyn wants him back so bad?
Yeah.
That makes total sense. Totally agree now.
Yeah.
Okay, you've made me lose my train of thought because that's such a good theory. I think I made a mistake when I first read it and it said, I would rather not live to see it happen again. I thought Major Dalton Cisneros was, had seen it the first time. But it says, as fascinating as that spectacle must have been, which makes me think he wasn't there at the time. So I don't think we'll meet him, and I don't think he was there to witness the first six or the second time that it happened. But it'll be interesting to work out when that second time was.
Okay, so just something to say before we start with the chapter, because we haven't started yet.
Oops.
The chapter is the one that was shared by the magazine Cosmopolitan. So we already knew about this chapter before Onyx Soul was released. We actually had a special episode about this that you can hear it as well if you haven't heard it. So we're not going to repeat all the same thing that we did there. We're going to talk about the stuff that we know now.
I've forgotten what I said.
Yeah, but it's more about the stuff that we know now after reading the whole book.
We've got it in context because it was just a snippet. We didn't even know where it was in the book.
Yeah,
we suspected it was early, didn't we?
Yeah, we were saying from the beginning that it has to be like
right
in the first month when this happened, probably a couple of weeks. We were right.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I said it was going to be immediately after.
Yeah, I saw with this lieutenant and all the stuff that was going on. So, like, yeah, I'll give it maybe a couple of weeks.
But I was thinking about the injured in the corridors. I thought that the people that had been, like, in the infirmary might have recovered a bit in 2 weeks, some of them. Mm-hmm. And then they might have, like, freed up a few beds. But the bodies are still, like, lined up down the corridor. Anyway.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Okay, so, yeah, they are within the walls. Taryn is the one who shouted about it. Violet said, like, yeah, I know that already. She is getting ready with the daggers. She gets one to Sawyer. She said, none of us die today. We hear Rhys saying, Meryn, protect Sawyer. Cat, help whatever you can.
Like, do whatever you do.
Yeah, just don't be in the middle. Or something like that. It's just like weird.
Don't make a mess. Yeah, it is. Like, it is weird because Kat is incredibly powerful. And we saw that when she was at the end of Iron Flame, when she was like escalating the emotions of that venom.
Yes.
Winifred. I just want to point out Winifred. Mm-hmm. Winifred is very old, okay? So she is married to Nolan.
Yeah.
Nolan is like 80, I think she says, if he's a day.
Yeah.
She holds the wailing infantry cadet by his upper arms. Like, what chance is she? She's a I'm sorry, she's an 80-ish year old healer. And she's restraining. Yes, Winifred, she's a very strong woman. she's holding him and he's wailing.
Yeah. Actually, well, we don't know if there's like the same age or only maybe Nolan was...
A sugar daddy.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, maybe 16, she was 20 and she managed to get her.
maybe. Who are we to judge? Yeah. We listen and we do not judge. We read and we do not judge.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Rido, Ri, and Violet, the one they go to see what's going on. They see two more riders spring through the infirmary doors behind them, both from second wing. Maybe helping the van in to go in again. It's just another like thing for a second wing, just sus.
Yeah.
They're still walking, they see a scry running towards them. Violet she gets ready to attack and re-ask to the scry, which way did they go? And the hood falls, revealing the red rimmer eyes with spiderweb veins at his temples.
Which are the scribes of Enon? Markham? I don't think he is. I think he's just an arsehole.
Yeah, I mean, if he is a Venon, definitely it's going to be like first stage, because we have no reference about the eyes or anything else. So he might be in the Colonel Athos Club. They're just helping each other, maybe building super soldiers or something like that from the Venon. I think that's the thing they are doing.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah. I don't. He's not a Venon. He is a knobhead.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Venon is preparing to attack, but Violet, she just flicks her wrist and boom. Already in the heart.
It's more like go.
So she stabbed in the heart, and Rido asks how did she know? And Bayer replies, a scribe would have run towards the archives. So you see that she is now here like, in the logical part. Even when everything is going on around her, she just focused and she's just really logical in what she's doing. And I think maybe it is like the first day that we get from her doing this kind of like logical thinking.
Really quick. Like the first time? No.
Because in Iron Flame she was a mess, and now it's just like she's focused. She is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm. Yeah, you're right.
So she found the gravity or the center. And now it's like she knows what she's doing.
She's very different in this book, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's very like, I mean, especially when we get to Hadean.
Yeah.
She's grounded.
Yeah.
And isn't that interesting that came after her mum died?
True. I think maybe you see that change that she had no time to mourn his dad, and then she just focused.
Yeah, she literally says, because Andana says you can grieve, and she says, if I grieve every time, then...
That's the only thing that she will be doing all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's your mum, Violet, so if you're going to grieve...
Yeah, give her one night or something.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, she gets back the dagger, and she feels the Alohan power is a little dimmer. So she's hopefully thinking that it's going to be enough magic to have another killing blow. So I think maybe here when we were talking before, now we know why they're constantly needing weapons, because the magic runs out once it's used. So they're following the screens and they're going to the torture chamber. They are keeping the backs to the stone wall. And Violet sends a silent thanks to Aaron Norris for building Basgaya with a stone. And we talk about this in the special episode about this, but again, still a little bit random and a little bit weird that she's just like taking the time for this.
Yeah. We thought that it was Signa or like...
Yeah, there was a lot of people thinking that, oh, she can travel on time or she can, I don't know, like do this kind of stuff. And that like the first hint, but yeah. Can be more wrong about it.
Yeah. No, but something that I still think you're right about, and I still really like the connection that you identified as with Baylor Norris. Mm-hmm. I still don't see a reason for it. Maybe for the next book, or maybe an early red herring, because we don't, if you think about the first time we read this, we didn't have a clue what her second signet was. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a few red herrings on the way to finding out, because we'd be like, oh my gosh, she can feel the past, or she can do something.
Yeah.
With the past. But yeah, I still like the connection with Baylor. We don't know anything about Baylor. He's not or as far as we're aware, he's still not manifested a signet by the end of the book, or it's a non-event.
No, we don't know at the moment about his signet. I don't remember.
No. It's his friend, isn't it? It's Lynx.
Yeah. He's the new Shadow Wielder. Yeah. But yeah, maybe we'll find out something the Norris family know about Basgaeth, like a secret chamber or something. It's going to be this, the Lynx.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's something like this.
Yes.
Linked to the Norris family. So they can hear they are trying to open the door where Jack Barlow is.
So I have been absolutely racking my brains about why they would go on such a epic rescue mission for Jack fucking Barlow. But you've convinced me. It's because he's the counter to Violet and they know it.
Yeah. I was thinking about it since Iron Flame, but after reading Onyx of Stubborn, we're like, yeah, I think it's going to be this.
We literally had this conversation, like, what was his signet? What was his signet? And we didn't know what it was going to be. And obviously they've come for Barlow, and this is Pancheck. Pancheck's behind this. We get confirmation of that at the end. We always suspected Pancheck, but this is kind of the, like, there's evidence in this chapter that he's actually the one that's virtually given them the key, but not given them the key. It's like, he says at the end, I'm the only one who can give you access to your son. But he can't, because they couldn't get him out. They were trying. So Pancheck let them in, but he didn't give them the key.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Why? Why didn't he just give him the key?
Yeah, I mean, he's the one who was led running Basgaeth at the time. Why just don't say to, okay, I need to take Jack Barlow to transportation or something, made out something to keep him out.
Yeah.
And then just...
Because Atos isn't there yet, is he?
No, he's still probably with, I don't know, Melgrin celebrating his new promotion.
Well, he might, yeah, they might be negotiating. I think he's an arsehole, so I think he'd be like, I need more money. You need me to, you need to pay me more.
Then he's doing like mind tricks with Melgrin.
Yeah.
Because it was Pancheck, the one who was to go after Basgaeth. Why Atos? When Atos was like, the last 6 months, he was out of the place.
I blame Lilith for keeping him so close to her for so long. But it's like that thing, isn't it? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, oh, you've been shadowing. You've done your, like, training with Lilith.
Yeah. Yeah, I know everything. She showed me everything, so I know how to run the place.
Yeah. It's like when Voldemort takes over Hogwarts.
Oh.
By a snake.
Spoiler alert.
But it's not. Well, it's not a spoiler. I made it seem like Snape was bad. Although, if anyone wants a conversation separately about why I dislike Severus Snape, then feel free to. I should set up a channel on the Discord.
So they arrive at the antechamber, and Viola can see two Vanny with scry robes and a female with a ruby Helton sword. She has a long silver braid with faded tattoo on her forehead. She sees Violet with a smirk, and she disappears. So we thought at the beginning that this could be Satan's mom. There could be something
Violet
like
from the future, I think.
Yeah,
similar
things.
At some point.
But no, this is just like the first time that we actually see this new character going into Onyx of Stern. It's Theophany that he was there.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing for me that the villain, the main villain of one of the books and the middle book, has not been met before. And I wonder if Berwyn is the main big baddie, or if Jack will be it, because it'll be Berwyn will die in the next one. And then now, I'm sorry, I haven't planned for this because that theory just like wiped me out. But it could be that that's the natural progression is that Theophany, then it's Berwyn in the next book, and then it's Jack in the next book, because Jack has taken over from Berwyn. But we normally, in a series, you have a bad, like, think of Lord of the Rings, for example. You've got Sauron, who is the big bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Saruman as well. But you normally know the villain, don't you, right from the beginning? And this one's a bit, it's different.
Well, we see now there's like in every single book, there's a main villain. And the villain doesn't make it out of the book very well. So in Four Winds, well, yeah, it was Colonel Atos, like the main one. He's the only one that's alive. And Iron Flame was Burton Varish. He was the main villain there. He died. Well, as far as we know, he dies there. Then in this one, she was kind of like the main one because she nearly killed Stern. She was chasing Violet. She was like really powerful. And then she dies as well in this book. So it's...
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe Berwyn is the big... Because I see it a bit differently to that. I see that... I don't think Dane's dad was the big bad guy in Fourth Wing. I think he set it up. But I think the main sage, Berwyn,
mm-hmm.
was there at Resen. I think he was supposed to be the bad guy.
He was there and he ran.
Yeah.
Well, he disappeared.
But then he was there in... Iron Flame
mm-hmm.
was Zayden, and then he was there in this, but he's like kind of in the background. Theophany talked about him a lot. Theophany like was like, he's the shit one, don't go with him. She mentioned him a lot. But yeah, it is a different, it feels slightly weird that we don't know who is the big bad guy, but I don't know if it really matters, because it's like the Venin are the bad guys. It's like a group of people in it that's
yeah. Bad. Kill one and then another one come back.
Yeah.
Or take their place, yeah.
The one thing I wanted to draw out was the ruby sword, because we...
Mm-hmm.
I remember being a bit unhinged last time and, like, searching for ruby throughout the two books and not really finding a lot, apart from Violet's OG daggers. She had a ruby one. I did the same thing in Onyx Storm. I think this means that she came from Moraine.
Mm-hmm.
The Duchess of Moraine, who is a bitch, has a giant ruby necklace and giant ruby earrings. And we know that emeralds are related to Tirindor. So I wondered if whether rubies in the same way rubies are associated with Moraine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised, actually, because emerald, I thought it would be like onyx or something. That would be Tirindor, and then depending on where the dragon's dens were, mm-hmm. they were would be matching with the stone. But anyway,
yeah,
it seems to be Moraine, and that makes me wonder whether Theophany is somehow linked to Lyra, because Lyra was the first six, and she was from Moraine. So I just wondered if there was some kind of link there. Because of the rubies. Also, just interestingly, I don't know whether, maybe it's just a random reference to a ruby, but I am insane. So Kat also gets gifted a necklace with a ruby the size of Violet's thumb from Zanaal.
Yeah.
So it's just some ruby references that jump out.
Yeah. Remember that when we are just speculating about who was this woman with the silver hair, Lyra was like one of the candidates as well. We started thinking that maybe the six more powerful, they're still around, but as a Venin.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, maybe it's Lyra, the one who's dead.
Yeah.
So Violet can believe it, but she doesn't lose the focus because this person just disappeared. So like, okay, there's more Venin here, so we need to just keep fighting. So she kills one of the Venin, throwing the dagger right in the throat. And one of the Venin that are there recognize her, saying, no, like, no, kill her, we need her. And Violet again is like, oh, it's just because they want me so they can control Zayden. So, fuck Dan, that's not going to happen. So, It's like, Violet.
I don't know.
So clever at sometimes, so, I don't know, naive. Oh, she doesn't believe that she is that special.
Yeah, and like, I get that because her mum and her dad, well, her dad has treated her differently, but her mum has kind of basically never.
Yeah, she was always like the Shane of the family, Soren girl. Yeah. But Violet has the Venom in front of her. The Venom said, well, you can't wield here inside, and you know that you can't kill me with a dagger. And then she sees the shadows start to move around, and she said, well, I don't have to do it. And then shadows explode around, leaving all in the dark, and Violet recognizes that as a home, or this dark place. And while she can hear the scream, the shadows fall, and all the Venom are dead. Zaydan is there with Garrick as a second lieutenant, and Zaydan asks to Violet, tell me, Violence, why is it always you?
Zaydan's back, and he's back with a promotion. Mm. He's had a promotion. Did we speculate on what this could be last time? Did we say that we thought it was part, it could have been part of Devera's negotiations?
Yeah, I remember there was some mentions about it. They came back to Basgayat with big promotions.
Yeah.
It's more about there's not that many around, so yeah. You need to.
If you stick around long enough, you will be promoted because you are not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense too.
I know some workplaces when it's literally like that. You stay longer enough, you will be promoted really quick.
You'll be the boss.
Yeah.
Because everyone else will leave or die. Hopefully not.
No, in the workhouse when I was, but.
Good.
Okay, so 1 hour later, they are dismissed by Panchek. They are surprised that he isn't bothered about all of that was to get Jack out of
the
prison.
Surprise, surprise. Really obvious foreshadowing that, isn't it? But, I mean, we were suspicious of Panchek for a while. But even that line, like, I was reading this the first time. I was reading it probably so quickly that I didn't even think about it. Mm-hmm. And it's another one of those, like, little Easter eggs that I love so much where you get foreshadowing without realizing it. I thought it was interesting that Ree was like, maybe it's not the first time. And then I was like saying out loud, or maybe it's because Panchek is a traitor. The only other thing I wanted to say about this bit was that I love Riddick with Zaydan and Garrick. It was like, I totally had him. And they were like, no, you didn't. And this is where it feels like Riddick is starting to be accepted by them and like part of the group, which will come in handy later.
It was really funny, Riddick trying to like defend himself. I totally got it. No, you didn't. Why make you think that I didn't have it? Because you were on one side and you saw it on the other side.
On the other.
Yeah, I was working on it. So then I looking at it like, oh my God, this guy. So they are working together and sit down for 5 minutes alone with Violet. Gary resists at the beginning, but in the end, they had their time together. So, yeah, Zaydan is tired of not being alone, not even a minute. Violet wants to cheer him up, saying that today he will his signet within the wards. And she asks if Sagel told him that she was in danger. And he says she isn't talking to him, flying is awkward as fuck. So this is the part when Rebecca Yarrow said that at the beginning of the book, Sagel is not talking to Zaydan. So we start to see this, that she is just still working together, but definitely not that relationship they used to be.
But I've just thought that that is actually worse than ever, because Sagel is putting her disgruntlement, that's probably like the worst word ever, but the fact that she's pissed with Zaydan above Tan's life, because Violet is in danger. She did not relay that to Zaydan, who could go and help her, who could keep her alive and hence keep Tan alive.
Mm-hmm.
So Zagael's not passing on any information between that she gets from Tan to Zaydan.
Yeah.
So she's putting that above Tan's safety.
Yeah, but maybe it's because Sagael is such a trust to Violet. Maybe turns her yeah, she is fighting somebody right now, and she will she will get it. She is strong. She's
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, because not even turn was like on my way or
yeah,
you can't do anything. You know, they are inside the torture chamber. So unless they turn and start to like rip off all the place,
he's just like snap out of it. Focus. Do this. Do that. Yeah,
it's not that's like... it. Zaydan tells to her that Sagael can tell that he's not whole, that she can sense it.
Do we think he's whole?
I think he might still feeling like the hunger for power. He can see it now, like really clear, this right there so close. But his conscience, his heart is still in the same place.
His soul?
Yeah.
I think so too. I am convinced that it's different if you turn for love. There's got to be a reason. Also, maybe if he is the physical manifestation of Loial,
mm-hmm,
the god of love, perhaps he is able to resist it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There's a really interesting part when he was talking with Jack Barlow at the beginning, the prologue, when Jack says to Zaydan, no, even you tell what is taken from you when you channel from the ground. So is he always the soul or could be anything? That's the question that I have.
That's a good point.
Because, yeah, from the information that we got, like, your soul is destroyed and everything, but then when they say the magic light balance is taking something from you, so is it going to be the soul or is it going to be something else?
Yeah, it depends what magic thinks is a fair price.
Yeah, like to balance when he's doing it.
And mostly that's the soul. But Theophany says it's not possible to love, like, our kind do not love.
And she was like, well, Zaydan, yes, he loves me.
And I genuinely think he does. Do you still love me?
I could reach the rank of Maven, lead armies of dark wielders against everyone we care for, and watch every vein in my body turn red as I channel all the power in the continent, and I will still love you. What I did doesn't change that. I'm not sure anything can.
Good. So he is convinced, and I don't think he would say that. He's not an actor. He is still whole. But why can Sagael sense that he's not? And also, again, from what we suspect of dragons, it's a bit rich, isn't it, coming from Sagael?
Yeah, true.
It's different if they turn for love. I will die on this hill. It is different if they turn to love. It's got to turn for love. It's got to be. And perhaps this is where I can buy into your Lilith theory, but she's dead. So I definitely can sign on to the fact that she was Venon, but because she turned for love and she chose to sacrifice her power for the people that she loved, the three children, that was a fair price. Magic saw that as a fair price.
That's the thing that we need to start, like, always remember, magic, like, everything on balance.
It's not up to the person. Mm-hmm. That's the, yeah, it's not up to you, it's up to magic, whatever that means. It's up to magic. So
yeah,
I don't think magic would take Zayden's soul. Yeah, that's what I'm choosing to believe anyway.
That's gonna be the interesting part, to see the, if it's not the soul, what could the magic take from Zaydan to make him fair? Because even when he turned into an Asen, there's just like full venom. He's still himself. Mm. He's even talking to Sagael, like, is this now like a reason for you to like forsake me or something like this? And he's still thinking that he needs to do something to protect Violet too.
But maybe it's not taking anything. Because maybe the magic is willing to give it if you are doing it for good reason. To fight the people that are stealing it. Because that's the thing. There's got to be a balance, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Maybe the magic is absolutely fine with people channeling in extreme circumstances. Maybe if you've got a note from a parent or guardian that you're doing the right thing, you can channel and it's no biggie.
Maybe it's the fact as well that he wants to get rid of that. He was looking for a cure. He doesn't feel like that. He doesn't want that power. He wants to be himself.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not his taking. Maybe he's just borrowing the magic and then in some point.
Maybe the magic has been given to him.
Mm.
Because he doesn't want it. And this is the, there's a bit later on in the book where Zayden says, and this is a really common saying, like a common quote, that the best leaders are the ones who never ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the best people, the best magic wielders are the ones who don't want it, don't take it. I think there's something in this. I think that maybe the magic doesn't need a payment.
Interesting.
What does that mean for Lynx? Because perhaps if Zayden, while he is, what we're supposed to think is that the shadows are choosing Lynx because they've lost Zayden.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Lynx is Zayden's negative balance and maybe Lynx is the bad one. Because it doesn't matter where you get any power from. But also he's still channeling from Sigel.
Yeah.
This, like, I genuinely think that magic would know if you're doing things for good or bad.
So many theories.
Yeah.
It's just episode one of the deep dive.
I know, but this is a new one.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. So, Violet tries to show him that he's still himself, that nothing had changed, and he tells her that he found her just because he was chasing the Venom, that he can sense them in the same way they can sense him. So, we get now here that Venom can sense another Venom, regardless, or the Sage, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They can feel when but another Venom is.
But only the same level.
So, that was something that for me was like, okay, so if Zayden is Venom now, he will know if Brennan is a Venom, isn't it? But
an initiate, yeah, unless
he's above, or if it's a Wyvern, that's the thing that I'm thinking now.
Mm.
He won't. But it's something interesting that Venom can sense each other when it's the same level. And that's how he knows that he has changed. Scared yet?
No, because I'm not scared. It's going to be fine. Nobody needs to be scared.
Yes. That was the end of chapter 2.
Yes. So I have noticed that the chapters... I have noticed, because it's obvious, not because I'm clever, that the chapters are a lot shorter in Onyx Storm than they have been in the previous ones. We've got 66 chapters to cover.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to attempt to do 3 each week, but we are going to have to find one episode where there's 4. But I noticed that there's a few chapters where they're literally just like 3 pages, so... We'll do it then. We'll make a plan. We never make plans, but we will make a plan. So we've got to the end of the chapters that we're going to cover this week, but we haven't got to the end of what we want to talk about. So we have got a new section of the show called Auric's Auguries. So as we know, Auric has manifested the totally insane Signa of precognition. So this will be the part of the show where we say what our favourite theory is and lock it into our precog vault of predictions for the next book. And just before the next book, I mean, maybe at the end of this series and then just before the release of the next book, which we just have no idea when it's going to be. We will make a montage of all of our Oryx auguries. So what is your favourite theory that relates to this chunk of chapters?
The one that I'm going to keep from this chapter is that Lily Sorangel is not dead. That is the one that I'm going to keep dead until to the end of book 5.
Okay, so when we thought about this segment, I was sure I was going to be like, Aetrum has bonded as somebody in, mm-hmm. Another dragon in Erasure. I'm now going to go with the fact that this is totally your theory, but it's my absolute favourite, that Jack Barlow is Violet's magic balance. He has a pure power signet, and he is going to be the one that is Violet's true equal.
Yes.
Love it.
I was thinking about that one too. But yeah, I'm totally convinced as well that Jack is going to be Violet's equal.
I am going to totally read, like going into this reread of the rest of Onyx Storm, I'm going to read it completely differently because of that theory. Okay, so sticking with the theme of precognition, the epigraph for chapter 3, which we will cover next week, so it'll give people a week to think about it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I worry about Violet. She has your sharp wit, quick mind, and steadfast heart, paired with my bullheaded tenacity. When she... I don't know why Lilith is really British. I start like that. Sometimes I worry about Violet. She has your sharp wit, quick mind, and steadfast heart, paired with my bullheaded tenacity. When she finally, truly gives that heart, I fear it will overrule the other gifts you've given her, and logic will cede its voice to love. And if her first two liaisons are any indication of what we might expect, God's help her, my love. I'm afraid our daughter has atrocious taste in men. Recovered unsent correspondence of General Lilith Sorengale.
That was a really long epigraph.
It was, but it's so good. Yes. I can't wait to dive into that. But I can wait to talk about Holden because he's a pain in the ass. Anyway.
Yes. So before we wrap up, we are going to enter in the interrogation chamber.
Ooh.
We're going to extract you to the interrogation chair and ask you one question to feed into next week's episode.
So this is another new part of the show. We want to give you something to think about over the next week. We are going to ask you a question, and we'd like you to send us a DM, reply to, we'll put it on our stories on Instagram. We will also ask the question in our Discord. Taking Violet and Zayden out of the picture, who is the most powerful rider we know of?
Mm.
And we will add our own thoughts next week, but we want to hear yours too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we'll hope you enjoy being back in the deep dives.
I did. If you're not already doing so, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Faithfully Fantasy Pod. We now also have some options to subscribe for more content, both on Instagram, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and Supercast via our website. There are so many options to choose from, so there is something for everyone.
We will be more active on Instagram and Discord, so make sure you join the conversations. And thank you for listening to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Onyx Storm. We've got you covered as you spiral out of control after finishing Onyx Storm.